The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" And again Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text is Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. The title is, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. The man had a shriveled hand. We don't know if his hand was deformed from birth or by an accident later in life. We do know that it was something that the doctors of the day could not fix, and this was a serious disability for the poor guy. While the Pharisees had their spies watching Jesus and recording his every mood and every word, Jesus took the man's hand, stretched it out, and completely healed it. Verse 6 concludes the story with the Pharisees believing that they now had enough evidence to at least put Jesus in jail. So they went to the political party associated with King Herod. Why did they do that? To get rid of Jesus once and for all. The unique feature of this text is not the miracle per se. Jesus performed thousands of miracles. The Gospels tell us that he healed everybody that came to him. This is just one of many wonderful miracles of Jesus found in the Gospels. The unique feature here is that Jesus broke the law. Or rather, it appeared that he broke the law. The penalty for defiling the Sabbath was death. Exodus 31:15, 25 verse 2, and Numbers 15:32. Jesus could have asked the man with the shriveled hand to come back the next day, and then they would both be in obedience to the law. But instead, he used this as an occasion to teach the Pharisees and the rabbis some things they didn't know about their own Sabbath law. What was the Sabbath? Where did it come from? How was it supposed to be used? And do we still observe it today? The Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. It has its origin in the creation of the world in 6 days, and on the Sabbath day, God ceased to create. Genesis 2:3 states, "On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all his work, which God had created and made. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made." On the seventh day, the creation was complete and perfect. It did not need to continue to evolve or be improved. As Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything that he had made, and it was all very good. The Sabbath thus first teaches us a doctrine of cosmic stability, contrary to the modern doctrine of evolutionary instability and so-called progress. God himself at the beginning of history taught Adam and Eve that the Sabbath was blessed and to be sanctified. This meant that the Sabbath was a day to be set apart from other days to receive God's gifts. God's gifts and our receiving them is what makes the day holy. The most important thing to know about the Sabbath is its purpose, not the various rules that may govern its observance. Maybe you did not know. The patriarchs in the book of Genesis observed the Sabbath. And the patriarchs were not unique in observing the Sabbath. Their next closest culture, the ancient Babylonians, also observed the Sabbath. We don't know that in the Bible, but we do from ancient history. The word Sabbath is found in cuneiform tablets in the Akkadian language, and it means there a rest for the soul. It was observed in ancient Babylon on the 7th, 14th, 19th, 21st, and 28th days of the month. You have almost 7 days, but one little thing that's a little bit different there with the 19th. The ancient Babylonian Sabbath law said that on the Sabbath, the king could not eat grilled meat. So I'm sorry, O great king of Babylon, there are no cheeseburgers for you on the Sabbath day. Also on the Sabbath, the Babylonians could not change their clothes. I'm sure all the moms were disturbed by that, seeing their kids run around in dirty clothes on the Sabbath. They could not wear white clothes. But wait, I got white. You got white. No white clothes on the Sabbath. They could not offer sacrifices, and they could not ride around in their chariot. Remember those old Sunday drives? None of that if you're in Babylon. Furthermore, a prophet or soothsayer could not perform his art. And now all these laws that were expressed in the ancient Babylonian idea of the Sabbath. Now the Jewish Sabbath that we know was described in the third commandment that was received at Mount Sinai by Moses and given to the people. Here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your cattle. They can't do any work either. Nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and he rested. God rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. That's Exodus 20:8-11. The purpose of resting from labor for the people of Israel was first to remind the people of God's creation of the world and his resting on the seventh day. Second, to give the people an opportunity for the reception and enjoyment of God's gifts. The specific rules of resting from labor were similar in some ways to the Babylonian rules. The people were not supposed to gather wood for fires or cook over fires that day. No fires for cooking. Exodus 35:3 and Numbers 15:32. So they could not eat grilled meat or cheeseburgers just like the Babylonians. Traveling was forbidden to the Jews on the Sabbath, which was similar to the Babylonians not being able to ride in their chariots on Sunday afternoon. Burden bearing, trading, buying, and selling were also prohibited. And these are the passages that refer to that, Jeremiah 17:21, Exodus 16:29, Amos 8:5, Nehemiah 10:31, and Nehemiah 13:15-19. And all this is similar to the Babylonian rulers and judges not being permitted to put on their uniforms to do their work on that day. In the religious observance for the Jews, the daily offering at the tabernacle and later the temple was doubled on the Sabbath, Numbers 28:9. Also, the showbread in the holy place, we've learned about that in our Bible class, the bread that's always there in the tabernacle was replaced with new bread on the Sabbath, Leviticus 24:8. For the Jews, the Sabbath was a day to be set apart from other days for the reception and enjoyment of God's gifts. God's greatest gift to his people was his word. So the Jews gathered on the Sabbath to hear and study his word. Jesus attended the synagogue on the Sabbath, as did his apostles, to hear and teach God's word. And you know, the Jews still do this today, even in our neighborhood up on Alameda here. The Jews also enjoyed God's other gifts on the Sabbath, gathering with family and friends, gardens, good food, beer, wine, music, literature, the arts, pastimes, and games. Now, with all this in mind, we now ask the question, did Jesus break the Sabbath? No. If the purpose is to receive and enjoy God's gifts, then the man with the shriveled hand received and enjoyed God's gift of healing through his own son, that is Jesus. The Sabbath, which Christians observe on Sunday, is also for us a day set apart from other days for the reception and enjoyment of God's gifts. We too can enjoy family, friends, gardens, good food, beer, wine, music, literature, the arts, pastimes, and games. The greatest of God's gifts that we receive, though, are his word and sacraments. These are the things that we Christians should, as our first priority, receive and enjoy on God's Sabbath. And that's indeed what we do here in church every Sunday. The main thing is hearing God's word in the lessons and the sermon, receiving his forgiveness in the absolution, and receiving forgiveness and all of his benefits in the Lord's Supper. In so doing, we obey the third commandment, and our souls are refreshed with true spiritual food and nourishment. Do all of our neighbors enjoy the benefits of God's gifts on Sunday or another day of the week? Well, sad to say, no. In fact, by some measures, the San Francisco Bay Area is one of the least churched places in the United States. The last time a comprehensive study was done throughout the USA, comparing all the metropolitan and rural areas, and this was a period from 2004 to 2014, the San Francisco Bay Area ranked first in the number of people who had not attended church, synagogue, or temple for the last 6 months. That was 61% of the population. Don't go to church or anything. In the same study, our area had the highest percentage of de-churched adults in the USA, that is, who were formerly or raised religious but who no longer attend. That was 48% of our population. And we also ranked sixth, that is 14%, of those who claim to be not religious at all. Although you and I cannot heal people with shriveled hands, we can help those with shriveled souls come to church and receive the gifts of God. And the gifts are very clear, and they're simple. First baptism, then absolution, then catechism, then the Lord's Supper, and all those in due time. If you have a friend, neighbor, or relative who doesn't attend church, encourage them to attend the church that they grew up with or are presently members of. Or, if there's no connection there, invite them to join you in receiving God's gifts on Sunday. May you continue to observe the Sabbath regularly until Jesus causes all of this present creation to rest from its labor by his return. In Jesus' name, amen.